We will be studying Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for inheritance the land, which I sware unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. My dearly beloved, we will be talking right now about the story of Joshua bringing the Israelites into the land of Canaan. In verse 1, it says right here, Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now keep in mind that Moses, all this while, was the leader that was in charge bringing the Israelites into the land of Canaan. And amidst the wilderness, Moses have done many, many miracles in front of the eyes of the Israelites. And now Moses is gone. So here it is, we have Joshua, who was following Moses, and now Joshua is supposed to be in charge of the people. There are approximately 2 million people that Joshua was supposed to bring into the land of Canaan. Now for young Joshua, this is a big responsibility. In our life, many times our leaders are gone. Perhaps it could be your parents, or perhaps it could be a CEO that was in a company. Whatever the leaderships that used to be there in our life is no longer there. However, my dearly beloved, God is always there to lead us. Our leaders might be gone. Our parents might be gone. Our husband or wife may not be there. But the Lord is always with us throughout all our life. And the Spirit of the Lord, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, once we are born again of the Spirit of God, will constantly stay in our heart. At this point of time, Joshua is supposed to take over the position of Moses and bring in approximately 2 million of Israelites into the land of Canaan, battling many, many kings, and he's supposed to overcome every one of those kings. Can you imagine the kind of projects, the kind of a big, major battle that young Joshua is supposed to be shouldering and is supposed to be facing? And so God has given Joshua this particular chapter of how to be successful. Now, my dear friend and beloved in Christ Jesus, perhaps you would have said in your mind, maybe this chapter is for only Joshua. But my friend, I can tell you something. This particular chapter is in the Word of God. It is not only for Joshua, but it is also for every one of his children. And my dearly beloved, this particular chapter tells us how to be successful in life. And what is the secret and formula to be successful in Christ Jesus? I am sure every one of us would like to be successful. I personally do not like to fail, and I am sure you do not like to fail. Every one of us would like and hope to be successful financially, materially, and in everything that we do, and of course, successfully, spiritually as well. Now, this particular chapter tells us how to be successful in everything that we do. So let us go back into the Word of God in Joshua chapter 1 and continues on. Verse 3 it says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. And verse 5 says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. My dearly beloved, isn't this wonderful? When God says before you, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Now this promise, my dearly beloved, is also for us. Not just for Joshua, but also for us. If we were to observe and listen to the rest of the formula, God will be with us as he is with Joshua. The conditions is simple. And it says in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And verse 7 says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The first conditions of success, my friend, the word is written in verse 6, 7, as well as 9. Believe it or not, God knows our weaknesses. It is not in our nature to be strong and to be of good courage. We tend to falter, we tend to feel fearful, we tend to feel weak, and many times nervous and worry. All of those things are signs of fear. But fear does not come from the Lord. Fear comes from the father of lies called Satan. Ever since Adam and Eve have chosen to believe the voice of the power of darkness, the devil, all of us, the whole humanity, have fallen into the state of the law of sin. For that reason, it is not in our nature to be strong or courageous. We only can, in our flesh, produce fear, nervousness, worry, stress, frustration, depressions, discouragements, afraid. Are you experiencing all of this emotional manifestations of fear? It is only natural for us to fear. It is not possible for us to be courageous apart from the presence of Jesus. However, the Word of God tells us in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. This verse is repeated. The meaning of be strong and be of good courage is repeated 3 times. Verse 6 says, be strong and of good courage. And verse 7 says, only be thou strong and very courageous. And verse 9 says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. My dearly beloved, God has encouraged us 3 times in 3 different verses to be strong and to be of good courage. Mark my word, the first criteria is to be strong and to be very courageous. For the word of God tells us, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but rather of courage, of boldness, and of love. And last one is of sound mind. You see, God knows that in the flesh there is nothing good. For the spirit of courage, or being strong and very courageous, are all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It is the spirit of the Lord. In our flesh, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 7, in our flesh there is nothing good. In our flesh, we can only bear the fruits of the flesh, which include all the negative emotions, such as fear, nervousness, anger, hatred, all the ugly, sinful natures that we see every day, not only in ourselves, and also in the papers, our daily newspapers and internet. That's how our flesh operates. For that reason, the Lord God tells us, in order to be successful, we must be strong and of good courage. Perhaps you say, but I'm always very fearful. I'm always very negative, and I'm always worrying. Now, let me tell you, my friend, you need to repent of those sins. Those are called sins because they come from the devil. And you need to be born again of the Spirit of God. And if you are born again of the Spirit of God, then you need to remove those things that are called sins and repent of it. And ask the precious blood of Jesus to wash away every one of those negative fears, nervousness, worry, stress, frustrations, depressions, and so on. First, ask the Lord God to forgive your sins, and trusting always in His Word, confess each and every one of those sins and wash them by the blood of Jesus. For the word of the apostle tells us, if we confess our sins, He is just to forgive our sins and all our unrighteousness. And it takes the blood of Jesus, the holy blood of Jesus on the cross, to wash away every one of our sins and make us holy and righteous. Now you must understand one thing, that God cannot hear the prayer and the cry of unrighteous men. God can only hear the voice and the prayer of a righteous person. The book of Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2 writes, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear your voices. My dearly beloved, it is not that God cannot hear our prayer. It is not God incapable of answering our prayer, but rather, it is our sins that have separated us and God. For that reason, King David experiences and wrote in the book of Psalm, in Psalm 34, and he writes, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. And the eyes of the Lord that are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The key word, first of all, for God to hear us is the word righteous. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. And it takes the blood of Jesus, by our genuineness, accepting His death on the Calvary as a full payment of a sin debt. And when we are washed, and when we believe, the blood of Jesus is able to wash each and every one of our sins and make us to become righteous. Then will God be able to hear us. And so if we have sins in our heart, we will not be able to manifest the fruits of the Holy Spirit. First, we must repent of our sins and then be made righteous by the blood of Jesus. And then we would be able to abide in Christ Jesus. And Jesus tells us to abide in Him. If we abide in Him, Jesus says in John chapter 15, if we abide in Him and His words stays in our heart, ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. My dearly beloved, when Jesus said this word, it shall be done unto you, He mean every single word of it. That the Lord will begin to hear our cry as we become righteous in the sight of God by the blood of Jesus. It is not because we are good. None of us are good. We have fallen short before the glory of God, the scripture writes. For that reason, Jesus Christ came to wash away all of our sins and to pay our sin debt in full in the cross. Perhaps salvation is confusing for you, or perhaps you didn't understand the meaning of paying sin debt in full. I shall give you a very simple illustration what salvation is all about. Let's assume you owe or you borrow $1 million from the bank to do business and you went bankrupt. And the bank is running after you for payment or will put you to jail if you do not pay. However, you have a rich father who loves you and says, son or daughter, would you let me pay that debt that you owe to the bank, because I am rich, I have got the funds, and I love you. You can have two responses. One, the first response says, yes, Father, thank you. I believe you will pay for me, and thank you for loving me. And so your father goes to the bank and pay your debt, and the debt is canceled. The second response says, no, Father, out of your pride, you say, I do not need your help. And of course, your father cannot force you. And as a result, you owe the bank the debt you couldn't pay. And of course, the bank has the right to put you to jail. My dearly beloved, salvation is that simple. All it takes is absolute belief and trusting that your father goes to the bank because he loves you and he is rich. And when you trust that your father, he goes to the bank and paid it. And your debt is canceled. That is what salvation is all about. You see, the word of God tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. My dearly beloved, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? Are you born again of the Spirit of God? If you have not been born again of the Spirit of God, may I encourage you to repent of your sins and confess each and every one of your sins before God and cry for mercy. And believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in order to save you so that he can take away all of your sins upon himself. He who is holy will take away your sins, and in exchange he will give you his righteousness. You see, salvation is a gift of God. It is a free gift. You cannot earn it. For the word of God says, by faith and through grace that we receive salvation. For the word of God says, that the wages of sins is death, but the free gift of life is through our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to save us. My dearly beloved, I encourage you to trust in the Lord by faith. You cannot earn your way out to heaven. You can only accept it as a free gift of God, because we are miles short from the glory of God. Perhaps you would say, I am a good person. I didn't kill, I didn't take drugs, and I do a lot of good deeds. Then let me ask you a question. Are you going to die? And every human being that is born to die. You see, as long as you experience death and you will die, you are under the law of sins. And no matter what you do, your sins cannot be washed away. And the law of sins is our nature, just like a fish swimming in water. A fish cannot survive in the air. They have to swim in water. For that reason, it is in our nature to sin. It is not in our nature to be holy. For that reason, ever since we have fallen into the law of sin, because the first pair of human beings, Adam and Eve, chose to believe in the voice of the evil power of darkness, Satan, the liars, all of us suffer the consequences of being born in sins. But God, in His mercy, in His wisdom and love, provides a way out, a solution, which is called salvations. And it is through Christ Jesus, the second Adam, the second human being, from being God into human being. Second Adam, the Bible says. And it is through His obedience that overcome all temptations that Satan has offered. And He is absolutely holy, born out of Virgin Mary, not out of copulations between a man and a woman. He is the seed of a woman to become human without sin and died on the cross to take away all of our sins upon Him, so that we can receive His eternal life. And the moment we receive His eternal life, the Holy Spirit is sent into our hearts to endorse the transactions for eternity. And God will send the Holy Spirit to live in our heart. And the Holy Spirit is our comforter. He is our teacher. And He is our reminder. And He is our assistant and our advocate. And He is the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it is He that will transform us into eternity. He is the one that will transport us into eternity, and He will transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. It is all the work of the Holy Spirit. The flesh cannot do anything less. Anything such as the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the flesh can only produce the fruits of the flesh. My dearly beloved, the fruits of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-sufferings, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now the flesh cannot produce none of these nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. It is not possible. The flesh can only produce sinful characters such as adultery, fornications, uncleanness, pride, anger, craftiness, doubt, fearful, greediness, nervousness, lying, dishonesty, everything else that is ugly and negative. That is the fruits of the flesh. However, the Word of God tells us in order to be successful, number one, you must bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which include, apart from the nine, it is characterized by wisdom and boldness. The boldness of Stephen, who was offered as the first martyrs when he preaches Jesus Christ to the crowd. And the spirit of wisdom that is present in the prophet Daniel, who is victorious amidst all of the trials because he truly and genuinely believe in the Lord God and walk in absolute obedience to Him. So the first criteria, my dearly beloved, is be strong and of good courage. Now let us read on verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So the second criteria, apart from being strong in our hearts and courageous, is to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. It is very important for born-again Christians not only to read the Word of God, but to do according to all the law and, of course, according to all the Word of God. If we are just reading the Scripture and refusing to act out, we will not be successful. It says right here, you have to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. You see, the Word of God is to be lived out. It is not to be read or merely studied in the head. If you merely read them and you merely know them just by the head, it's like putting food in your mouth without digesting it in your stomach. And it is no use to put the food in the mouth when it does not go down into your guts. Right? Imagine if you were to eat food and just put it in your mouth without digesting it in down in the stomach. You cannot survive. Food will not be churned into energy. Right? For that reason, the same thing. The Word of God must be acted upon. And incidentally, our Lord Jesus says, He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. John 14, verse 21. And verse 23 continues, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You see, our Lord Jesus hath already said, He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, it is he that loveth me. If you only remember his words and refuse to keep them, you do not qualify as someone that loves him. It is very important to have his commandments, number one, to remember his commandments, and then to keep them is to act upon them. Then the Lord considers you as someone that loves him. And the promise in return, when we love him, Jesus says, He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. My dearly beloved, God promised that when we love him by doing whatever he told us to do, he will manifest himself to us. The story of Prophet Daniel will illustrate this particular promise. You see, when we love God, God will always hear our prayers. And we don't love in words, but rather in deeds and in truth, the Apostle John says. And so the Lord tells us, if we genuinely love Him, then first we must remember His word. And if we remember His word, then the next step to do is to act it out. It is no use to remember and not act out, right? And so that's exactly what Prophet Daniel did. He acted out the word of God. When he separated his food in Daniel chapter 1, in order to separate unto godliness, because the food that he ate, a delicious good food, those are offered unto the idols that God hated. It is not that he's afraid of the idol, no. On the contrary, because he loved God, and God is a holy God, and the food are defiled because they are offered to the idol, he decided to sacrifice the lust of the mouth and serve the Almighty God by having a sanctified ingestion, sanctified cleanliness, and of course, in the sight of God, that is precious. He is willing to sacrifice it because he loved God. For that reason, one day, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And when he had the dream, he had forgotten the dream. All of a sudden, he expected all the wise men to be able to explain to him what his dream was. And obviously the soothsayer and the magicians reply, there is no human being on earth that can explain the dream without first telling the dream. And the king was infuriated and said, you know I've forgotten the dream and I've told you, you must explain my dream. King Nebuchadnezzar was a nasty king, unreasonable king, but he does not care. He's got to have his dream interpreted. And the soothsayer says, there isn't any human being that can do that, except the God that does not dwell with us. And out of anger, King Nebuchadnezzar decided to kill every one of them, including Prophet Daniel. My dearly beloved, Prophet Daniel is a godly man. He loved the Lord God so much that right now Satan wants to attack him and his life is jeopardized because King Nebuchadnezzar was very angry and wants to kill every wise man in the whole nation. However, the story does not end with tragedy. On the contrary, the story ends with victoriousness. Because Jesus, our Lord, is always victorious. So, Prophet Daniel asked, what is going on? What is this emergency about this news? And of course, he was told that if you cannot interpret the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had forgotten, you will be executed. Prophet Daniel went to see King Nebuchadnezzar, petitioning for a few days to be able to give him the answer. My dearly beloved, if you were in the shoes of Prophet Daniel, what would you do? But because Prophet Daniel had a beautiful spirit and walked in absolute obedience to the Lord God, he had absolute courage and he was very strong in the Lord. He knew that the Lord will always answer his prayer. He recognized the Almighty God because he loves him. And of course, Prophet Daniel also loved God. And so Prophet Daniel decided to pray and ask his three other godly friends to petition the God of heaven to answer that prayer. And just as the promise that Jesus tells us through John 14:21, I shall repeat this commandment before you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. This promise is absolutely true, and it takes place in Prophet Daniel's life. That Jesus and God promise to manifest himself whenever we need him to show us. As a result, Prophet Daniel decided to pray, and at night when he slept, the visions of the dream that was given to King Nebuchadnezzar was given to him, plus the interpretation, of course. Praise God. God, who is faithful, who knew what is deep in our hearts, and of course, accordingly to his words of promise, it was manifested to Prophet Daniel. And when Prophet Daniel came to explain the dream to the king Nebuchadnezzar, the king was so awed, he bowed down to Prophet Daniel as if he is a god of some sort. There's no human being that can explain a dream that was forgotten and knew the dream. Even King Nebuchadnezzar recognized that your God is above all gods, for you are able to interpret my dream and even tell me my dream. My dearly beloved, the promise of God is absolutely true. God answers the prayer of a righteous man like Prophet Daniel and manifests himself to him. For that reason, Prophet Daniel is filled with the spirit of courage, not fear, not nervousness, because he is abiding in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is within his body, in his heart and mind. And the second promise on John 14, verse 23 says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Can you imagine if Almighty God is with us? The Apostle Paul writes, if God is for us, who can be against us? For that reason, Prophet Daniel experiences that the Lord God is with him, and whatever he does will prosper. King David experiences the same thing. His success in his life, being a king, and in all the wars, it is not because he is super intelligent, not at all. It is not because he is super rich, not at all. It is because the scripture writes, whithersoever he went, the Lord was with him. My dearly beloved, the success in life does not depend on intelligence. It depends on the presence of the Holy God with us. And of course, on our part, it depends on our obedience to his word. For that reason, verse 7 says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. We must on our part do and act out according to the word of God. For that reason, I would encourage every one of born-again Christians to must every day spend the quiet time of reading his word and mark his promises in the scripture. There are many, many Christians who only read one page, only read whenever they go to church, and pick up one or two verses and close the Bible. My dearly beloved, they will not be successful. Are you one of them? The word of God tells us we must know the scripture from the beginning to the end. We must understand his words and walk according to his law. Now let me give you an example. If you were driving a car and you do not understand the traffic rule because you didn't study them, Imagine if it's green, you stop. If it's red, you drive. What is going on next when you have that in your head? I can guarantee you will have a major accident. It's a matter of sooner or later, isn't it? Because you cannot practice the law, the traffic law, without understanding it. If it's green, means go. If it's red, means stop. And if you didn't understand that, I can guarantee, like I said before, you will have major problem and accident. Likewise, the word of God have to be understood. You must first study them and then understand them. And the Holy Spirit that is sent into our heart will teach us the truth. You don't have to go into the seminaries to study the Bible to understand the Bible. On the contrary, many times in seminaries, the carnal mind can never comprehend the things of the Spirit. I would encourage you to read the Bible with a pure heart. If you have sins in your heart, first confess that sin, and then allow the Holy Spirit to unveil your spiritual eyesight, and He will teach you. That's exactly what Jesus said. He sent the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. But we must follow His law. God is holy. We must first confess our sins because we are filthy many times. And if we have sins, He can't hear us. Neither can He talk to us. It is as if you have a plug in the room that is a switch. When you pull out that switch, the light is totally darkness. The Holy Spirit is that power. We've got to put on the Holy Spirit before the light is on. The next verse it says right here, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Do you know why? Because the path of the cross is a very narrow and straight road. It is very difficult, of course, to journey. On our flesh, it is impossible. But the Holy Spirit will assist us. The problem is this. As we walk through and journey through and run through the path of the cross, to the left and to the right exists the power of darkness, alluring us, attracting us to turn our head to the left or to the right. And if you turn your head to the right, here comes the devil and says, oh, look at your difficulties. Look at your job scenario, not good. And look at the problems that you have. It's too big. Nobody can fix it. As you turn to the left, all the other ugly voices of Satan appeared. And he looked at the back worst. All the regrets that you have committed, he comes to accuse us. My dearly beloved, the devil is the evil genius, Jesus says. There is no human being that can overcome the devil without the presence and of the assistance of the Holy Spirit. In our flesh, we are but flesh. Remember, the devil is a former angel, cherubs, very spiritual. But he has fallen down because of pride and become ugly as he commit sin and turn into darkness, from bright light into darkness, and that is a reality. And out of his hatred, the devil, out of his anger and rebelliousness towards God, he dragged us together with him into the law of sin. And of course, ultimately, we will all be condemned to the lake of fire, whether you like it or not. Because in heaven, there is no sin. And God loves us. But if we choose to disobey God and walk like the devil does and refuse to repent and refuse to take the cup of salvation for free, even though Jesus paid it all, then we are under condemnations like the devil. It is not God's mistake. He equally loves us. It is our choice to walk away from Him. It is our mistake to refuse the cup of blessings from the grace of God through the cross. Salvation that is free for all of us. It is saying no to the Father, who had gone to the bank and wants to pay your debt. What can he do when you say no to salvations? For that reason, let us learn to humble ourselves. Let us say yes to the Father in a heart of absolute humility. If you have pride, there is no grace, the Bible says. Grace is imparted when we have humble hearts, a lowly spirit, yoked with Jesus, you see. And so as we turn to the right, here comes the ugly devil. And looking at circumstances, it does not look good. And we turn to the left, we chicken out. Our heart become melt with fear. And of course, we will not prosper. For that reason, the word of God tells us, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. My dearly beloved, the second formula is to do everything according to God's word. And the third formula, do not look to the left, nor to the right, nor to the back. I can guarantee you, if you do that, you will falter into Satan's trap. You must focus unto the word of God and meditate his words, which is the next instructions. Verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. My dearly beloved, it is absolutely essential that God's children must be holy. Through our lips, what we say, through our eyes, what we see, through our mind, what we think, and through our footstep, where we go, and our hands, what we do. In here, the word of God says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. It is very important that our mouth will be speaking the things of the Lord to the glory of God. Do not use gossip through our lips, because it is sin that defileth us. Do not speak of the worldly things that only would drag our heart into the world. And Satan comes and loved it when you do that, because here comes Satan, who's going to pull you down into his pit, into his ugly trap. But rather, the word of God tells us that our mouth must be useful, the Apostle Paul says, that it can speak words that are grace to the hearers. Positive words, my dear. No negative words. And it will edify others. Our words must be always seasoned with salt. Do not use ugly, discouraging words unto others, for it is a sin. Because the word of God tells us, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. For that reason, we must testify for Jesus. Whenever the Holy Spirit in our heart instructs us to do so, we must speak through our words the word of our Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, to his glory. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. It is very important in our mind that we must put the word of God and meditate therein day and night. How many Christians, even though born again, do not practice this rule? They put in their mind a lot of junks, a lot of dirty things that should not be there. And sad to say, that's what Satan does, because the battle lies in our mind. He battles with the Holy Spirit in our mind, deceiving us with his lies and taking away all our hearts so that we cannot focus unto the word of God. For that reason, Jesus tells us that the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, and the pleasures of this world, all of these things choke the word out. Dearly beloved, God instructs us to meditate day and night and to observe to do according what is written in the Word of God into our heart and our mind. If our minds do not think of the things of Jesus, if our mind do not think of the law of God, what is within our heart next? You see, Satan put those negative thoughts, lies of the world into our mind so that our heart would be defiled. And the moment our hearts are defiled, the Holy Spirit is grieved. And obviously, sooner or later, the Holy Spirit will be quenched. For that reason, the Apostle Paul tells us, do not grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. You see, if you plucked up the power that gives you the light, you are in total darkness. And the Holy Spirit is that power. You must protect the power that gives you the light. Can you imagine walking in darkness without light? For that reason, the Apostle Paul tells us that we must uplift the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5 says, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the Spirit lusteth against the flesh, they are contrary one to the other, that ye cannot do the things that ye would. My dearly beloved, those two are contrary with each other. And we cannot do the things that we would because our flesh will fight against the Spirit. And of course, the Holy Spirit cannot walk in the ways of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. I will repeat this verse for you. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. My dearly beloved, it is very important for us to be able to walk in the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit guides us, we must obey. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. And the next verse says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And verse 9 says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. My dearly beloved, it is very important for us to walk according to his words of promise. It is very important for us to meditate on his words and act it out. If we do not act out, we will not be successful. And finally, when the word of God tells us to be of good courage, to be strong, and not to be afraid or be dismayed. Because the ultimate formula for success is written in verse 9, the last part that says, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. My dearly beloved, I would encourage you to focus onto the Word of God. Because if you do not focus onto the Word of God, here comes the power of darkness on the left side, on the right side, and everywhere, and all of our problems. And when we focus away from the Word of God onto our environment, we will falter. And finally, I would like to share with you my personal testimony that God is very faithful to his children, and whenever we are in trouble, he is out there to bail us out. My dearly beloved, I like to share with you my personal testimony when I was in great difficulties. 30 years ago, when I was about to graduate from the University of San Francisco, I was void of money and depleted of funds. I only had $1,500 in my pocket. And my school fees required $3,000. My apartment requires $550, not including food and books. But the problem is this, the car that I own is an old car, and the car has an engine problem sign, which means I cannot use it to do my sales work, since I was a salesperson. And so I cried to God for mercy, because I need a good, reliable car in order to travel from San Francisco to Los Angeles. But having $1,500 in my pocket, I could not get a brand new car. Neither can I graduate from school. What was worst of all, I cannot ask my parents for help either. Simply because when I became a born-again Christian and dedicated my life to Jesus, my parents both disapprove of it. They have persecuted me, and they said to me that if you believe in your God, which is the God of the West in their mind, since I am Easterners, then you shall ask the God that you worship to provide you for your finances. For that reason, that challenge against my faith, I have never, ever, ever again, ever since I became a Christian, to ask for any financial help from my own parents. At that point of time, I just got married to my husband, and I was young, 23 years old, girl. I could not graduate, I thought to myself, with only $1,500, of course, in my pocket. So I thought a solution of borrowing money from the bank. And so I called my husband, who goes to UC Davis at that time while I was doing my degree in San Francisco. And I asked my husband, I said, honey, could we borrow money from the bank to get a new car so that I could travel safely from San Francisco to Los Angeles? The reply from my husband's lips does not help, my dearly beloved. He said, no, we could not get any loan from the bank simply because we have no credit. We are just students. His answer was absolutely true and correct, and very practical and honest. This particular answer drove me right before the throne of grace in absolute desperation, with tears coming before the Lord God. And I said, oh God, I have no way out of my problem. I could not graduate with $1,500 and I need a new car. My school fees alone is $3,000. Not including my $550 apartment and books and food. And my car is dead outside with an engine sign. It is dangerous for a girl to travel in that condition, especially long-distance travel from San Francisco to Los Angeles to visit every one of the bridal shops, since I am a bridal salesperson. As I cried before the Lord God, I told him my needs of money. I say, oh God, have mercy upon me. It is not out of covetousness or greed that I ask for money, but I need money to get a new car. As I cried before the Lord God, I opened the Bible and it follows exactly in Matthew chapter 6. It was as if Jesus was walking out from that Bible and speaking to me. And Jesus said, don't worry what to eat, what to wear, for life is more than these. Look at the fowls in the air, who feedeth them? Look at the flowers and the grasses gone in a day, who looks after them? and ye of little faith. Jesus was telling me, I am of little faith. And I said, yes, I am, Lord. I am so sorry, Father. And then he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. When he spoke those words into my heart, I wept and cried and confessed my sins because I have no faith. You see, the Lord God knows our needs. He said, don't worry what to eat, what to wear, for your heavenly Father knows your needs. Don't ask like what the Gentiles do. We have a daddy in heaven that knows your needs. He's rich. He's almighty. He knows your needs. But do first the first thing. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, do what I told you to, my commandment. The rest is automatically added on. My dearly beloved, when I heard this voice through Matthew 6, my heart from repentance all of a sudden is translated into a heart of peace, of joy. Even though my problem has not been solved right away, my cars are still parked outside dead, not working. My money in the bank stays the same, $1,500. But God has answered my question and fulfilled my prayers. And I knew that my Heavenly Father will take care of it. As how he's going to take care of it, I don't know. But I trusted in him at that point of time, and my heart was filled with joy. Joy and peace, to the point that I wiped my tears. I took my bag and took a bus to school. It was the last day of the management class. I remembered vividly in my mind, the professor says, this is the last day of the class, folks. You can eat and drink and chit-chat. I remember as I walked to the class, I was the last one to come through. And as everyone was busy talking, I took my seat and sit down. And all of a sudden, I heard a voice of the Lord in my ear. And the voice of the Lord says, that friend Ken of yours, his name is Ken, he's a Caucasian friend of mine. Isn't his father the biggest car dealer in Burlingame, a city close to San Francisco? And my eyes was opened, dearly beloved. And I said, that's right. And the Holy Spirit says, go talk to him. My friend, my dearly beloved, you must pay attention to the voice of the Lord. So I took the advice of the Holy Spirit and moved forward and began to talk to my friend Ken and ask him for help. And Ken says, what does your husband do for a living? I say, you see, Ken, I need a car. I got no money. My husband, a student, we both are students. We don't make any money. But I need a brand new car. And Ken nodded his head and he said, okay, don't worry about it. Just come to my office tomorrow. I took his words and I went to his office. He told his representative and he said, give my friend whatever she wants. My dearly beloved, it is such a joy to share this testimony with you. I drove out with a brand new white car with no payment down, $0, just a piece of paper, sign on it, and I leave with a brand new car. It is so easy when Jesus answered this prayer. It is so easy when Almighty God provided us, isn't it? That's exactly what he says when he said, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. My dearly beloved, the Holy Spirit and the Lord God is living today, not 2,000 years ago only, but also today. So if you have problems, my dearly beloved, I want you to come before the Lord like I did, confess your sins, and he will begin to hear you and obey him. And of course, I have many, many, many more testimonies to share with you. And I graduated from that school with $10,000 cash given by the Lord God as I do my sales with that brand new car, simply because whithersoever I go, the Lord was with me. I do not resort to any one of my intelligence. I cannot give credit other than to the living God, who is very much alive and present, living in our hearts in the form of the Holy Spirit today. Now, finally, my dearly beloved, I want to share with you one last thing, that is, God is always faithful to His words. The secret and the formula for success is not only for mine that I've experienced, it is also for you. I pray that you choose to believe in Him and repent of your sins and get yourself cleansed within by the blood of Jesus. Remembering what the Apostle John says, if we confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive all of our sins. Our Heavenly Father is the God of Jehovah Jireh. He will continue to accompany us through every battles of life and every single difficulties, so long as we thank Him and praise Him and cry before the throne of grace, obeying Him. I can guarantee you, in my life, I have many, many, many testimonies that God is our God, our Jehovah Jireh, and faithful. And the Word of God tells us that there is no shadow of turning with Him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. My dearly beloved, may Joshua chapter 1 be deeply imprinted in your heart. Never to forget to be courageous. If you have fear, remove and delete that out of your heart and your mind. Replace it with the Word of God, the Word of boldness, of absolute positivity. Put the Word of God in your heart and mind. Do not walk astray from the Word of God. Now it is time to part, my dearly beloved. Once again, may the Lord richly bless you, that whatsoever you do, remember to always have His commandments. Remember what Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. May the Lord God be with you, and may you continue in your journey, carrying the cross, denying yourself, and following him. And most of all, to encourage yourself in the word of Joshua 1 that we have just read today. In Jesus' most precious name, I ask and pray for. Amen.